and welcome to the Jim Baker Family Show, coming to you from the village of Morningside, USA, snuggled in the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Today, our special guest is prophetic voice and TikTok influencer, Christina Baker. Our co-host today is Mondo de la Vega. And I'm Tammy Sue Baker, and now, direct from Grace Street at Morningside, USA, here's your hosts, Pastors Jim and Lori Baker.
Thank you, Tammy Sue Baker.
Yes.
And I'm excited to have all of you here with us,
here
and
we
have
are.
My daughter here, and my son, Ricky Baker, is joining the team
yes.
this week, and we're excited what he's already working.
That's right.
Doing your kind of work. This is Christina Baker.
Yes.
With 1K.
One
nice.
K.
Can I shake your hand? Nice to have a Baker here with us. How are you doing?
I'm doing good and so excited to be with y'all.
You
excited
had
for what the Lord's doing.
A little hard time getting here, I guess. It was raining today and the streets were slippery, but you made it.
We made it. Yeah. It was a bit of a monsoon.
Yes.
You're an amazing person. Did you know that?
She really is.
He is amazing.
She really
And he's done
is.
Some amazing things.
And you and your husband work together, and he is an engineering type person?
He's a computer programmer, so he does, you know, a lot of things with computers and technology.
Oh, he
have a picture of you and him on the screen right now.
Oh,
and
yes.
So you guys put on a TikTok. Yeah. I got so much to talk to you about.
Wait till you hear
and
her story.
TikTok is almost, in my world, is kind of like the forbidden land.
Yeah.
So you're over in the forbidden land. You're like a missionary, I guess.
Absolutely.
But TikTok is owned by China, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
Is that right?
Yep, it is.
How in the world did you end up on TikTok?
Oh, boy, Jim.
Yeah, I was not into social media, but the Lord gave me a dream in March of 2020 after everything started happening in the world. And in the dream, what I saw was a slot machine. And, you know, back in before I met the Lord, I used to gamble a lot. And so the Lord will use things to speak to us in dreams, as you know. And I saw like the darkness. I knew it was social media the Lord was showing me, just some things in the dream. And when I woke up, I processed it with my husband, and we knew that I needed to get on and start posting prayers, you know, the prayers that were offered to me in the darkest moments of my life.
That's right.
And, you know, a lot of people are like, well, we can't go there because it's, like you said, you know, forbidden land or it's the darkness, but we have to occupy until he comes.
That's it. That's
and he's
right.
coming soon.
Yes.
And I just felt an urgency in the spirit where it was like, if we don't get out there and, you know, take the sickle and start
right.
plowing, people are, you know, there are casualties. People are like, well, you know, the Lord knows what he's doing. No, he put us here to bring in the harvest.
That's right.
He put us here to bring in the people
yes.
to him. And so I saw TikTok, social media, all of that. I'm like, yeah, I don't necessarily love the idea of social media. It's impersonal, but it's what God is using in the earth right now
yes.
to reach people all over the earth.
It's yes. true.
So I'm it's like, true. Let's do it.
That's right.
The gospel, let's go out
the,
there.
The gospel of the kingdom has to be preached in all the world
all the
as
world.
A witness to all nations, and then the end is going to come.
Yes.
So it has to be. And I always used to say, if the Russians invited me on television, I'd go. You know, I would go wherever I could preach the gospel. But I was reading about you, and that you say that you were a goth. What does that mean?
Yeah.
Well, she has an amazing story. All I'm going to tell you is, you know, we're going to offer Christina's book, but I'm telling you, she tells her story, which is mind-boggling. It's crazy, wild, what she went through. But she ministers to you, and it leaves you hanging. Like, I couldn't, like, you go and you minister, you tell a little bit, and then you preach. And then I'm like, wait, I want to know what happened next. I mean, I could not put it down.
But Everybody's you lived in a very dark world as goth. Goth is dark.
Yeah. So I don't know if you remember, maybe this is like the Marilyn Manson. Have you ever heard of him?
Oh, of course.
Yeah, so he was a, you know, yeah. I mean, a professed Satanist
yes,
and into.
Absolutely.
And you know, when you live in a dark place, you really relate to anything that's dark too. And
of course.
I started cutting myself. You know, I just felt so numb as a teenager.
That's right.
Had gone through a lot as a kid. And
you did.
Got into, you know, the goth scene, which is, I was black on black on black, wearing spikes and black circles and, you know, white. I felt dead inside, Jim. And so I expressed what was on the inside of me. And so I was the lead singer of a punk band. And we'd, you know.
Oh, my land.
Starting drinking, doing drugs, and just going down a downward spiral.
See that today.
No.
I just met you in the green room. I mean, you're so vivacious and so alive. And so Mondo was doing an interview with you. You know Mondo, by the way, don't you?
Yes, yes. My husband and I are big fans of him.
Isn't that wild?
Yeah.
You don't even know who I am, right?
He told us about you.
I used to be well known.
That's funny.
But I'm sort of in the background
okay,
now.
Okay.
No.
But you saw Mondo. Well, you were on his show, a few weeks ago?
Yep.
Yeah. I invited her to be on the program, and the Spirit of God just moved over. We were supposed to talk about the book. But God downloaded to me that there was three ladies that were watching in different parts of this nation. And I was just telling her, those three ladies sent me a message, one in Miami, I think the other one's Pennsylvania, and the other one was in Los Angeles. And they were watching the program, and they heard the word that God gave through you. A 45-year-old lady in Miami was getting ready to commit suicide. Another young lady was getting ready to leave, you know, her family and do wild things. But God began to move during that program that, you know what, the Spirit of God really works through the via television outlets. Yeah. But that's what happened. It was an incredible moment. But you were at Chuck Pierce. I had the opportunity to speak in that conference, and you told me that you were there.
Yeah.
And that's how the connection started.
Yeah. The Lord dropped a bomb in that place when he came to Chuck's. It was like a move of the Spirit of God. And, you know, he was talking about the end times, and it was just, it was in a time where people, you know, before you talk about the end times and people are like, but now when you start talking about the return of the Lord, people are like, this witnesses to me. People are ready to hear.
That's right.
Like never before. And, you know, the whole, like, we won't know the day or the hour, or he'll come as a thief in the him coming as a thief in the night is not for the body, because Jesus clearly told us we would know the season. We might not know that hour, but we will know the season.
That's
and
right.
So the remnant, the body is like, God, it's like stepping outside and you know it's going to rain. You're like, the clouds are getting a little dark. That's the time that we're in right now. It's like, God, I know this is soon, because the clouds are getting full of rain, and at any moment now, the whole sky is going to come down. And so,
and everything's accelerating fast.
Yeah.
Fast. Everything.
Yeah.
And Christina, your voice is so needed today. For I don't care what age a person is. It is so needed for the older people. It's needed for the young people. You know, I will tell you right now, I asked her in the back, will you please autograph a book into one of my daughters that I know she's going to just, it's because she had a lot of experiences like you. And she said, could I take a minute and write her a message? So I don't even know what you wrote her, but I'm giving it to her tomorrow. But I'm going to tell you this book is what you went through as a little girl, and what you went through, I mean, it blows my mind. And for you to come out and to preach, and what you just preached about, this is, you sounded like Jim Baker's daughter right there, how he's always said, you know, that in Revelation, or in Matthew 24, how it says, you know, people aren't going to know. No, we're going to know the seasons. We don't know the exact time.
That's right.
That was perfect.
In the new book, which I have a copy of right here, and I want you to get it, Hope in 60 Seconds, this book is a miracle. The fact that she has this book out, she's on TikTok. And how many viewers do you think you have?
There's a little bit of over a million subscribers on TikTok, but we're also on Instagram and Facebook. So, you know,
There's more than when I say TikTok, it's more than that.
A little bit more than that. Yeah.
But here's what she does. It's in 60 seconds. That's the key right there, is that you give it an encouraging word in 60 seconds, because people are changing over to everything and you can only keep people's attention for so long.
Yeah. Reaching out to the God of the impossible. Mm. And there are over 20 prayers, I believe, of hope for different situations. Why is the first one your favorite?
Yeah. Well, I wanted to open up the book in a way where people could understand that no matter what it is that they were facing, cancer, a prodigal son or daughter, jail time, which is where I was, that no matter where they're at that stage in life, that in one moment, as Mondo, you just said it so powerfully, God doesn't need a lifetime to change our lives. He doesn't need, sometimes we're like, well, this is going to take 10 years. Like, when is my son or daughter ever going to come back to the Lord? Or when is my husband going to change? Or when is my wife going to? It's one moment of surrender.
That's right.
He doesn't need a lifetime. And we know that time in the spirit, you know, a day is as 1,000 years, 1,000 years is as a day. God, in one moment, when we just, it's about the yieldedness of our heart.
It is.
Because when we open our heart, He can come and do whatever He wants to do.
That's right.
And so that was,
it's powerful. And I just said, you know, in the introduction, the very first scripture she uses as she, in the introduction, and I wrote it right here. This was my mom's Grandma Char, who went to be with the Lord, as most of you know, almost a year ago now. This was her life scripture, and she lived for Jesus entire life. And when I opened the book, I said, it's Romans 8:38-39. I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Wow. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow's. Not even the power of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus, our Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
And I was so, when I read that, I was like, yes, that's right. Nothing can separate us from His amazing love.
Because I think one of the most overwhelming things for me when I came to meet the Lord, my dad was an atheist. I followed in his footsteps. It made sense to me. It was kind of like, well, so much evil has happened to me. I can't reconcile a good God with the evil that I've encountered in my life. And when I came to the Lord, one of the most overwhelming things was that He was always there. He was there when I was sticking my fist up at Him, denying that He existed. And so it was overwhelming for me to think that He was there when I was homeless. He was there when I went through brain surgery. He was there when, you know, I was given a diagnosis. He was there in the drug addiction. He was there the whole time and was like, there's coming a day where this whole thing is going to turn around. There's coming a day where you're going to get out of this. And in the meantime, because the Bible says that the Lord has put angels over the elect.
That's right.
And so there are angels taking care of your son or daughter. Maybe some of your viewers, you know, you've got a son or daughter that is out there in the world. But the reality of it is that the Lord has His eye on your son or daughter, your husband or wife. God is with them. God sees them. And right now, God's not worried about it. Because he sees a month down the road, 2 years down the road, 10 years down the road, where they're going to turn around.
That's right.
So I just, whoever's listening to this right now, wherever they're at, and if maybe it's not that, maybe it's some impossible thing that you don't know how God is going to show up for you.
That's right.
Just know that God is already in the tomorrow. He's already in the breakthrough.
Amen.
He's already in the mountain being leveled and you coming over and passing over in dry land, God causing you to walk through the waters, and you will not be burned.
Amen.
He's so good, Lori.
He's so good.
He's so good.
Yeah, there's no words to even express. There's no earthly words to even express how good he is.
Christina, what happened the night your mom asked you not to go out because she knew something bad was going to happen?
Yeah. I had just gotten off of work. I had just been at my dealer's house. I had a significant amount of drugs in the trunk. I had a purse full of pills that I'd get from every doctor around town. I used to go doctor hopping, and the lights come on, the police officer pulls me over.
Oh no.
And you know, I was pretty very belligerent. I was kind of a scrappy girl too, so it was, I was quite the tornado.
Yeah.
And so I went to jail that night, and I had this thought when I was there. I was like, and I think that everybody experiences this, is like, what am I doing here? Because I have a 9-month-old baby at home. And if the Lord had not sent that baby to me, Jim, I wouldn't be here today. I would have taken my life a long time ago. And my mom had told me that morning, don't go. I feel like something bad's going to happen. And she felt like something bad was going to happen. But once again, if it had not been for that police officer pulling me over that night, I probably wouldn't be here today.
Right.
That police officer, I thank God that that police officer was patrolling that night, because it was the Lord's divine intervention in my life of like, the buck stops here. Like, if I had not had that moment, I don't know what would have happened. I think we often look at like adverse situations, things that we're going through. We look at that Goliath in front of us and we're like, I don't want that. God, take this away. And God's like, the very Goliath that is in front of you is the thing that's going to deliver you. And it was that moment where my mom felt like something bad is going to happen, but it was what led me on the road to meet the King.
Mm. What was the reaction when your mom and dad bought you a one-way ticket to Hawaii?
It was her stepdad. It was her mom and stepdad.
Lori knows every detail. She's like,
I read the book. Couldn't put it down.
Yes.
Yes.
So yeah, Jim, it was I came home from a party. My stepdad's standing at the top of the stairs, and I was, you know, trying to go in my room. And right before he pushed me down the steps, he stopped and he was like, "You're not worth it." And he looked at my mom, and it was getting so violent between us that my mom felt like he's going to kill her at any moment. So it was really my mom. I know this now, my mom protecting me from what was going to take place.
Yeah.
So they put me on a one-way ticket to Maui, Hawaii.
Oh.
I hadn't seen my dad in over 10 years.
So you hadn't seen your birth dad.
Mm-hmm.
Your mom and dad are divorced, obviously. You have a stepdad. Yeah. And you had not seen your father
In 10 years.
Yeah.
What was that like?
Well, my dad worked for an oil and gas company, and I had always pictured my dad in like suits, always, you know, because he sold oil heads. He was always well-dressed. And when I showed up at the Kahului Airport in Maui, I was there for about 6 hours. I had a duffel bag with my entire life in it, my guitar on my back. And he shows up, we recognize each other. But this time I wasn't the wide-eyed, bushy-tailed little girl. I was, you know, had the dog spikes, black on black on black.
Mm.
And he was like, "Christina?" And I was like, "Dad?" And he's like, "Come on, let's go." We get into his white pickup truck, and he's like, "I need to tell you something." And I was like, "Okay." And I remember thinking, I'm like, "I just want a warm bed. Like, I've been traveling for so long." And he was like, "I think this is crazy that you're here. I'm homeless."
Your dad says to you.
My dad says to me, "I'm homeless."
Mm. Mm.
And I'm like, you're trying to process this as a 15-year-old. You know, I'm like, okay. And so we show up to, it was called Thousand Peaks Beach. And there were tents everywhere. My dad had his tent like close to a payphone, which is where actually he got the phone call that his 15-year-old daughter was at Kahului Airport. And he had a queen mattress, blow up mattress in there, just enough for him and I to sleep in there. And there's cars parked on the beach. I mean, just, I will say this, Jim, okay? If you're going to be homeless anywhere, well, Hawaii's the place, okay? I could have been up under the bridge in Houston. I even see the grace of God in that.
Yeah.
Because it was rough.
That's right.
But I still look back and go, yeah, that was really hard. But even then, I see the finger of God. I see not the finger, the hand of God on my life that was taking care of me. Mm. And so that's how I ended up on the beach with my dad.
Wow.
You said you felt like the leprous man in the Bible when you moved in with your dad and found out he was homeless.
Yeah. Well, we were taking showers at the aquatic center. Every meal, my dad would mow lawns just to be able to feed me McDonald's. At the time, there were these orange McFlurries that he'd buy me. And we didn't know what the next hour or the next day looked like. You don't when you're homeless. And when you're homeless, anybody that's been homeless understands you feel invisible. Mm. You feel like nobody sees you and nobody knows you. But at the same time, there's so much. There's this cloak of shame because I'm walking into the aquatic center, not supposed to be there, taking my shower. And then I see all these families there with their kids, and their kids are putting their floaties on, and they're having these, what you would say, are normal lives. Mm-hmm. And so it was just a constant, like, I don't have that, but I desire it. Why am I here? Mm-hmm. And so you do feel, I felt, looking back on all that, just especially lepers in the Bible.
Right.
When I got a revelation of this, it was like the Lord, one of my favorite stories is when this leprous man is coming after Jesus, you know, and Jesus didn't give him a courtesy touch when he healed him. Jesus embraced him, which, you know, in that culture, that was not something. Yeah. They would have to pass by and they would have to identify themselves as lepers when they pass by in the communities. But Jesus, and I remember reading that and I was like, that is exactly what I felt for so many years until I felt his embrace that I had never felt from anybody in my entire life. So that's just an experience while my dad and I were on the beach.
Wow.
Homeless people feel like they're invisible. We try to always stop for people that, you know, because you find this everywhere, especially now in America, but to be seen.
Yes.
And to be known.
Everybody.
Your father was an atheist, am I right?
Yeah.
How did this influence you and how did this shape the way you viewed hope?
Yeah. Well, I had no hope, Jim. You don't have hope. Without God, there is no hope. We know that. Mm. And we can find hope in the world. Like for me, when I found drugs, when I got into that life, I felt like I had found what I had been looking for all of my life for a temporary fix.
Right.
It fixed that void on the inside for hours or maybe a day. My dad not knowing, you know, well, my dad is an intellect. He always, you know, he wasn't just like, I don't believe in God. Like he studied like Darwinism and just, he felt like he had a really good argument for God not existing. And I would listen to my dad as a child. I'm like, yeah, that sounds about right. Until, and seeing my dad and just the bitterness that he had, I mean, that's what kids do. We look at our parents and we're like, we're going to follow in their footsteps because that's who we look to. Mm-hmm. So, but we had no hope. And for many, many years until all of that changed. Mm.
How did you come to know the Lord? And I mean, today you use the stories from the Bible. You do ministry in what, 1 minute?
It's awesome.
That's all you need, Jim.
Yeah.
Boy, that seems impossible.
Well, giving hope in 60 seconds. Yeah.
And the fact that you have this book that is with one of the major publishers of Christian books in the world, and your first book, and they signed you up, they interviewed you, and immediately said, we want to do your book. That's a miracle.
It's a miracle.
You don't understand the publishing business, probably.
No,
but it's not easy. And that is amazing that this book has been published. Lori just loves this book. She's
absolutely
read it from cover to cover.
Everybody needs this book. And I will say this to anyone, just please listen to what I'm about to say to you. if you don't feel like you need this book, that's okay. But I'm going to tell you, there's people in your life that need this.
Yeah.
There's your kids that need this. I promise you that you will not, they won't be able to put it down. It may sit there for a little bit. They'll pick it up.
Yeah.
They're going to read about Christina's story. But in between, that's what I love about it. It's brilliantly written because she tells her story from birth. It's really something. And then she ministers to whoever's reading it at that in between. And I'm waiting. I'm like, yeah, I know these stories. I know the Bible. I know that. But I'm reading every word, and I'm like, but I want to know what happened next.
Yeah.
So I couldn't put it down.
Yeah. You know, if you want to give it to someone that is young, say, hey, this is from a TikTok influencer. I got this for you.
That's it.
It's a hook,
it
right?
Is.
But I want to tell you something. God wants to cover the pain of your past. You may struggle with the sense of your past, you write. You may not be proud of some of the decisions you've made. Ones that no one else knows about. The enemy, the devil, loves to tell you the lie that your sin is too big, too bad, and that you are too far gone from God to accept you. You may feel disqualified from the great destiny God prepared for you, unworthy of his love. But we find this powerful hope in our Savior. And I love that you're not afraid to write about this portion. The blood of Jesus Christ covered your sins and made a way for you to come boldly to the Father's throne of grace for help in your time of need.
Thank you, Lord.
If there was ever a time for this message, you got to understand TikTok reaches almost a billion people in this world right now. And the soundbite generation is alive and well, yet in 60 seconds, you give us hope to understand that it's okay to deal with our past. And there's a lot of sick Christian people sitting in the pews because they haven't dealt with the past. They still feel ashamed. And I've heard messages from you, Mom and Dad, about how we are ashamed of what we've done in the past, and we don't even feel worthy to even sit here to tell you that God's mercy and grace is sufficient enough and enough for you to surrender. You said one moment of surrender changes everything in your life.
Thank you, Lord.
Tell us about that moment in your life and how it led to your divine intervention moment.
Yeah. I just got out of jail. I was out on bond. I'm sitting at my desk.
You were in jail?
Yeah. I went to jail for drug possession in Houston, Texas. And I'm sitting at my job. I'm staring at the computer screen. Now, mind you, I had this baby. I had a 9-month-old baby. Mm. And that's a whole different story.
That's a whole different story.
Lori.
Yeah. We're going to talk about
it.
We're going to talk.
Because God gets all the glory.
Yeah,
and if I can just say this, when you said that, Mondo, the presence of the Lord is just so strong here. Just we're sitting here just talking about him. Because when we talk about him, he comes. Mm-hmm. He's like, oh, y'all are talking about me. I'm just going to take a seat here with all of you.
He promised that.
I just love that. Mm. So pain forms us.
Sure
the adversity
does.
Forms us. But the scriptures tell us that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers us from them all.
Yes.
So sometimes we're in that painful season and we're like, but God will never waste a painful season, Mondo. He will never waste a valley. He will never waste an adverse moment in our lives. And I'm convinced, you know people that are like, I love to bake or I like to work on cars. One of the things that God loves to do is restore.
Yes.
He loves to take what the enemy tried to kill us with. And he's like, oh yeah, watch what I do now.
That's right.
In the moment of surrender, watch how I work this out.
Amen.
And he moves and he just like puts his people his glory on a pedestal. And he's like, look what I can do. So I walk into this. So this man comes up to me, Jim, taps me on the shoulder. I'm contemplating taking my life that day because I'm like, if I'm going to go to jail, what do I have to live for? And of course, I had this voice saying to me, your son will be better off without you. And I'm starting to go down a road I'd never been down before. And it was scary because I was already planning how I was going to take my life that night. And I get a tap on the shoulder. And it's a man named Hilroy. He's a part-time pastor at work. He was a man from the Bronx. I knew he had some sort of story where he was, you know, living the gangster life, came out of that. God saved him. And he says, "Hey, Christine, I have a word from the Lord for you." And I'm like, "The Lord?" You know, these are not languages that...
Right. Yeah. Right. Yes. When you're in the world and you don't understand, and you hadn't been born and raised in a Christian home or all that, those are foreign words.
And what is a word?
And what is a word?
Yeah. I'm like, just talk to me.
Yeah, exactly.
So he says, "We have prayer meetings every day on the third floor. I want to invite you out." And I was like, how would he have known? How could he have known what I was contemplating? And it was my last resort, Lori. And I walk into this break room at the university and I hear this humming. It sounded like this humming music coming from the inside of the break room. And I'm like, what am I getting myself into? I walk in and there's people pacing the floor. Now, I had seen rosaries before. You know, I grew up in South America, but I had never seen this. And I had this thought, if there is a God, these people have come face to face with him. And I'm standing there, and then all of a sudden the hands start doing, and that's very strange.
It is.
Like, when you I was like, okay, why are they touching me?
Why are they touching you? Yeah, she's being so real. Lori, why do you listen? This is true.
You just, you know.
And I so, do know.
You know. And so Hilroy opens his Bible and gives me a word. It was a word of judgment to Israel. It wasn't like if he had said to me, I'm just saying, because I know God just knows how to speak to us. If he had said, "Well, God loves you," I would have been like, what's going on here? He says to me, he reads to me when Israel's about to get wiped out, and he says, "This is a matter of life or death. Prophesies to me." I don't even know what's going on here, but I think this is truth. Because how could this man know all of this? Like, I was driving home drunk every day, 100 miles an hour down the freeway from the bar Monday through Monday, not knowing how I got to my apartment building every night. And he says, "Do you want to accept Jesus into your heart?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I guess. I don't know who you are, but..." And he says, "Just, you know, say this prayer after me." And the moment he said, "Jesus, come into my heart," I'm like, "Jesus, come into my heart." And all of a sudden, it was like a bucket was just poured out from top of my head, tips of my toes. I'm feeling this peace I'd never experienced. Like, I'm thinking, okay, wait a second. I was finding this in the drugs. Like, what is this? Because I'm sober right now, completely sober. And yet, it was a peace I'd never experienced in my life, Lori. And Jim, it was like the boulders I had been carrying around for 20 plus years of my life. It's like somebody came and went, "Let me take that." And when the Bible says, like, the Lord doesn't just say stuff. When he says we become born again, you literally come through the birth canal in the spirit realm.
That's right.
Like the fluorescent lights in the building of this university were brighter. The sky was bluer. The grass was greener.
Yes.
And I'm like, what is even going on here? Like, so I went from being the crazy club drug girl at the, you know, like, "Oh, what's up? We're going to the bar," you know, all that, to high five for Jesus. And I'm running around the office just totally wild, holding this pink Bible. And I'm like, "Guys, you got to know Jesus." They're like, "What has happened to this girl?"
Yeah.
What has happened? I got touched by the Holy Ghost, Mondo.
Yeah.
And the Holy Ghost came in and just dropped a bomb, which you know. And that's how I came to the Lord, Jim. The long story short long.
Yeah.
They've got to get the book.
You have to.
Hope in 60 Seconds. And this is encouraging words from God of the impossible. Christina, tell us about the three miracles of your healing you received after having a brain tumor diagnosis.
Yeah. Well, again, I love when we come and we face these valleys, God always has already provided a way out. But we don't know that when we're standing there.
No.
We don't get that, because that's, you know, without faith, you know, if he would just come and reveal everything to us, there would be no faith. And I get the brain tumor diagnosis and I, you know, show up at the hospital. So my dad was the number one person persecuting me when I became a Christian.
Really?
I mean, he was just, he was like, I'm fine with you not doing all these drugs anymore, but like, what has happened to you? Like, you're like crazy.
Right.
And I was, I mean, I was just like everywhere I went, yeah. I just like my megaphone, like I needed people to know
yes.
Jesus saved me. And yes. if he can do it for me, he can do it for you, yes. anything.
Yeah.
Wow.
And so my dad, so I actually went to Bible college, Mondo, because I wanted to be able to have an intellectual conversation with my dad and take the apologetics classes. And so I started at a Baptist Bible college in Houston, Texas. And the morning of my surgery, it's 4:30 in the morning, we're heading in with my husband, Ryan, and my dad's at MD Anderson Cancer Center in Houston, and he's waiting for us. And I didn't know he was gonna be there. And so before we get on the elevator, he's like, I need to tell you something. And I'm like, okay. So we get on and he's like, look, I know, he's trying to like make out what's going on here. And he's like, I was in my apartment last night and I asked God that if he brings you through this, that I'll serve him. And I gave my life to Jesus last night. And I was like,
oh,
what's good? Like, I'm going into brain surgery and God gives me this gift. I felt like it was a gift
yes.
right before I go under. Cause you don't, you know, with major surgery like that, you never know.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And God gives me this gift of my dad giving his life to the Lord mm-hmm. right before I go in. My husband and I are sitting there going, what is going on here? They wheel me off on the wheelchair, and that was the last thing that I knew before they put me under was my dad gave his life to Jesus. Mm-hmm. So. 10 days, I came out of surgery. They removed the entire tumor, Jim, and my mom was taking care of me. And 10 days afterwards, as she was just, you know, just being my nurse, she had the same experience in her bedroom. She came to us a couple days later and she told my husband and I that she just was seeing everything that God was doing in my life. And somebody spoke to her and she was like, I gave my life to Jesus. And it was like they were going one direction and it was a 180 overnight. That's why I'm so passionate about the one moment, Jim. I'm passionate because I believe that a lot of us believe the lie of like, God needs all these things to be in place before he can do something. We're talking about the God of all creation, the one who flung the stars into existence.
Yes.
And we're like, it has to be this way. But he has already worked all of that out. And that has been what the Lord has done through my life, Lori, is he has taken the most broken, the most darkest, the most like what we would believe are unredeemable moments and has been like, oh yeah, you want to see me do something here? And just changes the course of history in that moment. And it's like, who else but him? But see, what he does for one, he'll do for all.
That's right.
It's he wants to do this for everybody.
Everybody.
Wow.
Everybody. It's not just like, oh, you know, you just got this or no, there's none of that. It's he wants to do this for all of us.
Yes.
He wants to change the course of history for every single one of us. And a lot of us are facing impossible situations all the time. But he wants to give us the faith to believe that he can move the mountains.
Yes.
He can heal. He can, you know, he can take a stage 4 cancer and turn that around and heal our bodies. That's who he is.
And he took you through these miracles and your father's miracle and all these things to prepare you to reach the world. Now, here you are, a woman who, goth, I don't know, people, kids used to be goth. I don't know.
Goth?
Yeah.
Is that the right word?
Yeah.
Because.
Yeah.
So, but yeah. the goth is dark, you know. I've had family involved in goth, so I mean I know it's a dark thing, and you were in darkness. You didn't even know God, and God supernaturally is kept intervening in your life, and you could have easily said, well, I don't know what I can do for God. But I'm going to find out because I want everybody to get the book. Yes. I want you to order it right now. It's on the screen.
Yes.
1-888-988-1588. It's toll free.
Yes.
Get the book. Can you get three of them? Do you have three?
Yes. You can get one book for $25 or you can get three, the friends and family, for $65.
That's my favorite.
To the ministry.
You all know
that's
that.
Right.
And always this is, get three, at least three because you're going to...
This is one of my picks for our Christmas present
giving.
I love that.
I think this book will be great because this is for everybody.
It is.
And Hope in 60 Seconds. Oh, can you imagine that? We're the quick generation, but yeah. This is something. But here you are, former goth girl, and you're reaching millions of people. You've got a voice to millions of people. Do you ever wake up and say, I talk to millions of people? That's a big church.
Yeah.
I always think about the amount of people out on television. I think, boy, if I was in a church, you know, there's not a church big enough to house your church, your people that are listening to you.
Can I just say that what I love about the Lord is that, like, we see magnitudes of people, Mondo, but he sees one.
Exactly. Yeah.
And he saw me. And I just love that about the Lord because he sees the magnitudes, the multitudes, and then he sees that one little boy, that one little girl, that one man, that one woman. And he's like, I see you, even though, and you are everything to me.
That's right.
And when we do these videos, Jim, we were kind of joking about how, like, there's nobody there. It's just a computer or it's just a camera. Mm-hmm. But I always picture that one. I do that when I picture the person that I'm ministering to in the spirit. Like I see that woman that doesn't know how to provide for her son or daughter. Mm-hmm. I see that husband that's just sitting there like, how am I going to provide for my family? I see that family sitting in the waiting room going, God, we need you to come through with a miracle. I see God will give me those pictures, and it's always for the one.
It is.
And
then
God does the delivering if he wants to give it to one person. My husband always says this when we post a video. He says, if it says one view, he says, mission accomplished.
Exactly.
Because one person saw it, and we pray that one person is the one that needed it, because I was that one person. We were all that one person at one moment in time where we saw the hand at the bottom of the miry pit come down, and we're like, who is that hand? And it was the hand of Jesus pulling us out. When everybody else was telling, at least, you know, a lot of us experience that where family has turned their back on you, your own children or your the people that you love the most were like, I can't deal with you anymore. And you're alone. And then you see the hand and you never forget the moment where the hand comes down.
No, you never do.
Social media is one to one.
One to one.
God cares about that one, doesn't he? Wow.
Because that one person.
Message. I believe you're here right in time because we're getting ready to move into social media like never before. Yeah. Because I helped pioneer Christian television, but I know very little about social media. But I'm so excited hearing about what's happened supernaturally in your life. I mean, you went to the publishing company and you didn't even know what a publisher was. You didn't even know what any of these people were, you know. And so you were looking it up before you went to the publishing house, before you talked to them, because you wanted to know who you were talking to. And that story is so amazing. But God took someone who didn't understand even the publishing business or the social media and is using you mightily. A million people would be a big church. That would be a big church, wouldn't it, Mondo?
Big, super big. And listen, and I shared this, and I'll share it with you, what happens when you post a video. I posted the interview we did in a very, I can't even share the name, but a very, very famous person stopped and watched the program and somehow got a hold of me and left me a message and said, look, I was tuning the television program. I saw your show. And what Miss Christina and you were talking about, I needed in that moment. Wow. I know it was for three other people, but that was for me. That's the power of influence that we have right now, is for this moment in time. Yeah, you see a million people, yet that one person that you never knew that you can reach, all of a sudden gets reached by the power of the gospel and the power of the Holy Spirit. This book right here, I want to tell you something. If there was ever a time that young people, older people, whatever people need hope right now, it is this book right here. It will make you cry. It will make you smile. It will make you laugh. It will make you sad. But at the end of every chapter, you will leave with hope, knowing that, wow, if God can use you, God can use me. There's no person out there that has done more things to disqualify you from God than probably this people in this room yes. right now. Yet, look at Tammy Sue. Look at Ms. Lori. Look at Pastor Jim. Look at Ms. Christina. Look at myself. If you ever look at a bunch that looks like they're not part of the team, this is it right here. But when God looks at us, he looks at us through a different lens and says, I want that one. That one's going to pioneer Christian television. That man right there, he's going to go through a lot of struggle in his life. But I know I'm going to pick him because he's going to continue to say yes no matter what I bring to him. And that's the kind of people that God looks for is, are you willing to say yes to me? I mean, you remind me of Mom telling the whole world that Jesus lives, right?
Totally. Christy, I'm trying to be quiet right now. I get you all day. Because when you ask him to come into your life, it is... I was the same, like, people made fun of me, everyone. I'm telling everybody, I'm at the club the night before, I'm partying, and I decide one day, I'm going to go to church, it's Easter Sunday. Doesn't everybody go to church on Easter Sunday? I want to go to Sunrise Service, you know. And the next thing I know, I was in a moment, and this is on page 69, you talk about the God who sees you. And he was preparing the way for each and every single one of us. And I'm going to tell you, it is, and you said in this, I'm just going to say this real quick, Jim, out of the book, one line here. One of the most powerful truths in life is this, knowing that Jesus would have gone to the cross even if you were the only person in the entire world who would ever choose him. And that's the truth.
It changes everything because it's like sometimes you think, well, God, there's just all these people and they're so, but that is the reality. When he went to the cross.
That's right.
And on that road carrying the heavy cross, he saw Tammy Sue. He saw you. He saw Jim, me, Mondo, and everybody in here and everybody watching. He saw your face. It was the joy that was set before him.
Yes.
That he endured. And he saw each of us. And that wrecked me. When the Lord showed me that, it was like, this love is not some blanket love.
Right.
This love is personal.
Yes.
It's deep. It's deep. It's intimate. It's close.
Christina, when your video started to go viral and gain major attention all over the world, did you feel any pressure to change it? Did you feel any pressure to do it different than you were doing?
No.
Because the world always seems to put pressure on us.
No, because, Jim, God gave me an assignment, and I wanted to be faithful to that assignment. And the assignment was, and I'm really good when the Lord just gives me one thing. I'm not good with a ton of stuff. I'm like, Lord, just the one thing. Please, one thing. And he just said, give my people hope. Give my people hope for a better day. It's going to get better tomorrow, because no matter how dark the world is getting, Isaiah 60 declares that the glory of the Lord is going to rise upon
Praise
his people.
Yes.
And that's why the church, like, we are going from faith to faith, glory to glory, regardless of what we see all out here. God is taking us higher with him. So there is always hope, no matter how dark stuff gets.
Wow. Mondo, there's so much happening in the world.
So
and our time's gone for today.
And it's getting darker and darker. And that's why people need hope
more than ever.
Hope in 60 seconds.
That's right.
It's an amazing book.
At least one. And that includes shipping and handling. It's a $25 donation to the ministry. Includes shipping and handling. But really, I mean it with all my heart. Better yet, if you can, do I like to call it the friends and family offer, but it's $65. And that includes shipping and handling. I promise you, God will bring people through into your life that you'll be able to bless somebody with.
The time's gone for today, but I just want to remind you that water has become shortage all over the world, and we want people to be prepared for the last days. And if you're not ready in your home, you need to know, where will I get water? when the water's gone. They're having such a crisis right now in Jackson, yeah. Mississippi.
This is the headline. 180,000 people in Jackson will be without so-called safe water for drinking or even brushing their teeth for an unknown period of time.
That's right.
This is in Mississippi. This is the government, the governor, Tate Reeves, saying and stating emergency. It is declared in his state.
They're talking about power blackouts even in California now, telling people to stop charging their electric cars.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
To not charge, not even plug in their yeah. major appliances.
Let me tell you the problem with going all electric. And I'm going to read you this headline afterwards.
We only have a few minutes.
Just 30 seconds. The problem with going all electric and going with the new technology is that you, at one point, are not going to be able to control your even your own thermostat. Wow. You don't believe me? Wow. Listen to this headline. According to ABC7, thousands of Xcel customers locked out of thermostats during an energy emergency crisis. Mm. This is the problem. When they tell you, do not use the power, they know that you're not going to stop using the power. So what's next? They're going to control it from their offices to be able to control what you can do, what you can't do. This is a different time that we're in right now. You want to praise technology, and it is great, but yet the question is, who will control that technology?
Yeah, it's already happening in California.
We have worked with Carl Palmer, who has developed some of the greatest technology for people. I don't even know if he knows how much, but he's developed for missionaries and all. Yes. But we have water bottles. Lori, you're holding one.
Absolutely.
This is our favorite. You took this one to Europe with you.
I did.
This bottle can save your life.
Absolutely.
It's a filtration plant.
Yes.
You can take a mud puddle and take this filter off the bottom here and just...
Filter all the contaminants.
And you can drink water out of a mud puddle or out of the back of your toilet. You can drink this water.
Wherever there's water.
The pump that we have right now, too, is something that I think every home ought to have several of these pumps because they're by hand. You don't have, if the electricity goes out, this pump will pump gallons of water.
Absolutely.
You can take the water from a rain barrel.
Yeah.
You can take water, as I said, from a mud puddle, from a stream, from a lake. And what's the price on that?
This is the price for $75 donation to the ministry. This pump will remove bacteria, viruses, E. coli, cysts, 99.9999999, just to make sure you understand what that means. It removes chemicals, chlorine taste, odors, heavy metals, fluoride, all the contaminants that you find when a city gets flooded with water, as Jackson, Mississippi.
So the people could take the water that's contaminated there and pump with that.
All you have to do is drop it into the water and begin to pump, and the water will come out clear through the system.
And they can have drinking water.
In an instant.
Yes.
For $75?
Yes.
To save your life?
Absolutely. Yeah.
This is one of the greatest technologies.
It really
and
is.
Only God can give ideas that these are filters like no one else has in the world.
I keep one of those in my car.
I do, too.
I
and
have
I keep
for
the
years.
Seychelles water bottle. I went to Rome a few weeks ago, and I can tell
Everywhere you travel,
I went to Rome, they told me that the water, it is so contaminated, you do not want to drink water. In Europe, they're known to where you can drink water out of any fountain there, where you can't do that anymore. I took my Seychelles water bottle with me. Everybody was like, what is that? Where did you get that? We need one of those. I said, go to JimBakerShow.com. That's where you can get one. But I can tell you, it is a necessity now. Why? Because 75% of the water we drink is away from home. Don't trust the water bottle companies. They're not getting the water from a source that you think they're getting it from. It is shocking behind the scenes. We have learned this through Carl Palmer, the creator of the Seychelles filtration.
They say some of the most popular water we buy in bottles is so heavily contaminated that we'd be shocked if we only knew what we were drinking.
That's right. So, Jim, we have several offers real quick on the water bottles. You could receive one of the Seychelles water bottle for
28 ounce. shirts, yes. One for $45, and then we've got an incredible, incredible deal. I remember when one bottle was about $145, so you can get...
It was.
six Seychelles bottles for $185 donation to the ministry. That does include shipping and handling. And remember, this takes out arsenic, aluminum, asbestos, copper, lead, mercury, zinc, up to 90% of the fluoride. It's incredible what this bottle can do. We have all traveled with it. I've personally traveled overseas with it, and I've left it for the ladies at the hotel, and it's just incredible.
Yep. I want everyone to be sure that have not ordered a food bucket this month to order a food bucket this month of the 60 meal, 30 shelf years, 30 years shelf life of food in this 60 meal bucket. And it has the most amazing pancakes and bean burgers and things that are so delicious. All this food. And it's for a gift of just $215.
And that includes shipping
and
handling.
And the retail now has gone up to $250 on
this
bucket.
That's right.
And if you order from us today, we've been able to keep the price down. We have 1,000 a month of these coming in now. We're believing God to be able to increase that amount because people are desperate now for food. They're running out of food. So I want you to order your food today. This is one of the miracles. I've worked on this for 30 years, probably.
Yes.
And this is so important to me. And I want you to order it today at toll-free 1-888-988-1588. And just order it. Get the 60-meal bucket that includes shipping and handling, which that's a heavy shipping, believe me.
It is. So, but the, you know, I also want to say... that this is something you have to do. You want to be a part of this. The Count Me In monthly support.
Absolutely.
Our we call it the Count Me In PTL Club dollar a day.
That's right.
You can. I'm going to tell you why. You get exclusive material on this only if you're a monthly partner.
Well, if you
because
love
we're fighting to save our stations right now.
If you love Christian television. As our audience always tells me every day that they do. And if you want to continue to have Christian television in your home, you can donate today. $30 a month, $50 a month, $100 a month. All you have to do is call that number on your screen. 1-888-988-1588. And operators are standing by.
Thank you for being with us. Remember that God loves you.
Yeah.
He really does. Bye-bye for today. Thank you, Christina,
bye-bye.
For being with us today.
Thank you, Christina. We love you.
Thank you for watching today's program. We need your support now more than ever. Call us today, 1-888-988-1588. That number again is 1-888-988-1588. You can also write to The Jim Baker Show at P.O. Box 7330, Branson, Missouri 65615. Please make all checks payable to Jim Baker Show. Or you can make your donation and order of other products online at our website, jimbakershow.com. Thank you for your continued prayers and financial support. It's because of partners like you that we can continue to broadcast the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world.